What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Sunday's Best, presented by Team Boy TV. I'll be your host, Big Q. And this is going to be episode one, but we're going to start in week five of the 2020 NFL season. So, you know, we kind of getting a late start with the podcast, but better late than never. You know what I'm saying? When we talk about the NFL stuff, it's better late than never. But, yeah, we in the house, man. So I feel like, you know, with the Team Boy TV live show, it's great. And when we finally came back last night, we was able to put on our first show of the regular season. You know, came, you know, again, 4 weeks into the season, but we were able to do it. This show on Sunday's Best is going to be our audio only podcast. I will be the host of it. Periodically we'll have Vernie B will be co-hosting the show with me from time to time. You know, we can look forward to that. We're going to be doing pretty much covering the hot button topics as we kick off the football week. You know, we usually the show is probably going to go up on Thursday, right? Because Wednesday night we do Team Boy TV Live. I probably record this one Thursday going forward, and it'll go up before the games start on Thursday evening and that kind of thing. So glad you guys are with me. So, you know, I'm gonna try this little venture here and see how it's gonna work out, and I'm hoping we're gonna have a little bit of fun with it. But you know, you know, the first thing we're gonna talk about here today, though, a couple of things we want to talk about. We do have this COVID issue that we definitely have to talk about. We talked about it, we covered it a little bit on the show last night. There was a nice heated discussion that we had on the show last night about this whole COVID situation. Glass, just say just sports, he had some pretty poignant remarks to make about the whole entire thing. You know what we're gonna do? We're just gonna go ahead and play a little clip of the show last night and let you guys know the idea of how that whole thing went down.
So Glass, here's the thing with this whole COVID, this 2020 season. We knew this was going to be a thing. We, you know, it was something that we knew going into the season that we was going to have to deal with. So they expanded the rosters. They got some contingencies built in, with a possible adding the 18th week to the season. All the stuff, all these contingencies built in place, all the extra care and protocols that we saw on Hard Knocks that was doing in LA. And we still getting people catching, you know, the coronavirus, man. So, I don't know. I feel like the NFL, the machine, is bigger than the coronavirus. I can't really say that. I can say that they're big enough to be able to contain it, and not as well as the NBA did, because you can't do what the NBA did with the NFL, right? That's impossible. But I think they will find ways to get around this. But like I said, with the expanded rosters, there was a contingency and the 18th week, doing the bye weeks and stuff like that. Let me get your thoughts on the Glass. What you think?
I'm gonna try to make this quick. Okay.
Yeah.
My definition of common sense. One, the only thing that's priceless and free at the same time. It's easy to use, but everybody don't use it. NFL stuck on stupid. I'm talking about the whole organization, players, and all that stuff. Number one, we was told with the COVID virus, if somebody somebody catches the COVID virus, it's a 14-day incubation period. Correct.
Right.
So if Cam,
unless you're Donald Trump,
this news got it last week.
Right.
Why? Then you have the team go out to play another team. Who did they play? The Chiefs.
They played the Chiefs. Right. Absolutely. So we still got to figure out what's gonna happen after that. Right.
That's 7 days. You still got seven more days. Now it pops up that Stephon Gilmore got it. Now if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm ticked because now I got to make sure my players ain't sick because once again. That's in between the 14 days. Seven is smaller than 14.
Absolutely.
And then, let's not forget, there were some coaches that was fine because, why? It wasn't wearing masks.
Absolutely.
Sean Payton.
Yep.
John Gruden. My coach.
Mm-hmm.
Fangio.
Bill Belichick.
Five of them. Mm-hmm. And then, Las Vegas Raiders with the tight end, Waller. He had the benefit. And none of the players at the benefit had a mask. So, no, y'all miss me with this, man. Y'all can't use common sense. And that's the reason why we got the outbreak now. And I'm a pessimist right now.
Right.
They're going to finish all 16 weeks.
Wow, that's crazy. So, JB, listen, this is what I'm thinking. Like,
so, listen, that's what Glass's take on it was. And you know, to his point, I kind of feel where he's coming from. I think today, on Thursday, it was another Tennessee Titans player that tested positive for coronavirus. And I think that brought the total to 23. Now, part of the conversation that I didn't play in that clip, but part of the conversation that we had last night was I was making the point that I didn't think that the NFL would shut the season down unless the numbers kind of got out of control. Like if they were at a point where it was hard to kind of, you know, contain it. But to Glass's point, it was the whole thing with Cam Newton comes up positive. The Chiefs still play the Patriots in that Sunday night game or whatever it was. Before the 14-day incubation period, so if Cam comes up positive, he was in the locker room, he was at the facility. Who else, and you know, came up with it? Stephon Gilmore popped up. So far, nobody from the Chiefs has, you know, turned up positive for COVID. But it's weird that they didn't. But I don't know. The NFL is in a serious situation right now where trying to figure this out. It's gonna be tough. But like I said, they going into the season, we knew it was going to be different. So, you know, like I said, they had contingencies put in place where they expanded the rosters from, you know, 53 to 85 or something like that. Had backup plans like, you know, what we saw with the Titans and Steelers game where they postponed the game, put the teams on a bye, and they were they'll play that game somewhere later down the line. And so on and so forth. So, and you know, and even things like adding the 18th week is something they considered. So it's a weird place to be in. But me personally, I disagree with what Glass was saying. I feel like nothing is going to stop the season from finishing. I think if they got down to even bringing in people from, you know, hiring more XFL players or Canadian League players or players from, you know, from some weird places, they'll put people in uniforms and strap helmets to them, and they'll put them out there on that field regardless. And, you know, because, I mean, there's TV deals that got to be fulfilled. We ain't getting no stadium gate money right now because they're only allowing a small amount of fans in certain stadiums, and basically it's mostly open-air stadiums, so dome stadiums. As far as I know, the only dome stadium that I saw that had fans in it was Dallas. I could be wrong about that, but that's the one that stands out in my mind, is that Dallas was one of the only contained stadiums that I saw that actually had fans, and a lot of them too. But that's money that's missing. You know, normally you can, you know, a stadium like the Dallas Cowboys Stadium can hold over 100,000 fans. Kansas City Arrowhead can hold over 85, you know, 90,000 fans. So on and so forth, and that money just ain't there. So, you know, the TV, CBS, Fox, NBC, ESPN, they all want their money's worth. They paid all these billions and billions of dollars for these TV deals, and they want football on the air. So it's going to take an act of nature to actually shut the football season, in my personal opinion. So that's just what I think about it. You know what I mean? So the other thing that I kind of wanted to address, there are six undefeated football teams and four winless teams. And the question, another question that we discussed this a little bit on the show last night as well, which one of these teams are poised to either A, fall off and take their first L, or finally get off the schneid and win the game. So the winless teams are both New York teams. So the New York Jets and the New York Giants are both winless as of this recording, right? 0-4. You have the Atlanta Falcons, right, which are 0-4. Now, the Atlanta Falcons, and, you know, they, you know, laid an egg in the first game, had leads in the second and third games, blew the leads in back-to-back weeks, week two, week three. They blew leads in both of those games. And then they got blown out by the Green Bay Packers in week four. So things ain't looking good for them. They got the Carolina Panthers, my Carolina Panthers, this week. And a lot of people are saying this is an opportunity for Atlanta to get their first win. Me personally, the way things have been going, you know, we have the, you know, players are not all the way 100% healthy. Julio got a hamstring. Matt Ryan ain't really been on point. Ty Gurley ain't really been pulling his load. I think that the Panthers are, and we'll get into the picks later, but I don't feel like that the Panthers are in any kind of jeopardy. Like most people that I've talked to so far over the last 48 hours seem to think that Atlanta, you know, might be getting ready to get, you know, be 4-1. Also, there was the Houston Texans, which surprisingly are 0-4 at this point. They fired their coach at the beginning of the week on Monday. They cut ties with Bill O'Brien, and they have appointed associate head coach, now interim head coach, Romeo Crennel, as, you know, he's the coach now. I got a feeling that team will be the first team to get a win. I think the Houston Texans will get a win this week, and they'll be the first team. I think the other three teams will lose again and be 0-5, but we'll get into the picks here in a little bit, right? So then, of course, we have the six undefeated teams, right? And you just think like, oh, you know, what's going to happen and who's going to be the first one to, you know, to fall off or whatever. Seattle is looking pretty good. They only one game ahead of the Rams in their division. So they're undefeated, but they're only ahead of the Rams by one game. And, you know, of course, Russell Wilson has been looking spectacular. Lockett's been looking good. The Seahawks are actually doing okay. I think, you know, the Seahawks offensive line is doing a much better job than we've seen in the past. Russell Wilson hasn't really have to do too much as far as scrambling around and making things happen like we normally see. I think he's playing a little bit more confident, a little bit more comfortable in the pocket this season. He look a little bit different, look a little bit more relaxed. I'm not worried about Seattle right now. I think, you know, they won't be the first one to lose. I don't think so. You also have the Green Bay Packers, who have been playing fantastic football. Now, it's been a controversy. You know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, everybody knew about the well-documented situation between him and the former coach, Mike McCarthy. McCarthy now is in Dallas, and they're not doing too well. But the Packers with their new coach Flores seem to be doing really well, and so the Packers look really strong. Granted, you know, they had a really spectacular game against the Falcons. They've been playing really good. They're another team that I don't worry too much about. I think they look strong, especially, you know, considering that, you know, they're in a division where really the only people they got kind of worrying about looking over their shoulder for are the Chicago Bears, and we'll talk about Chicago Bears here in a little bit, because I do think that that is going to be an awesome matchup whenever it goes down, and the Packers are probably in more jeopardy than I would say the Seahawks in their division, because, you know, the Seahawks, you know, like I said, they have the Rams, and the Rams are not, in my opinion, a strong threat to Seattle. But, you know, as the season progresses, we'll see how everything turns out and that kind of thing, right? So, you know, of course you have the Steelers and the Titans, who both are undefeated, but they're missing a game because they were supposed to play against each other last week, and that game didn't get a chance to go down. So technically, we would have had a winner between those teams right now, but we don't because of the fact that they were forced to go on a bye. So as it sits, they both are still undefeated, 3-0, as it sits right now. Tennessee in their division, they're looking pretty good. I like the way they look in their division, not a whole lot of pressure being put on Tennessee right now, except for like COVID is one thing they're dealing with. But, you know, other than that, I think, you know, they are looking pretty good in their division. So they are one of the ones I'm not completely worried about yet. Now, you know, they went on a spectacular run toward the end of the season last season, and they were looking to pick that up, you know, at the beginning of this season, and they're doing a pretty good job as it turns out. But I do think if we had got that Titans-Steelers game last week, it would have been the Steelers who would have been still undefeated, with the Titans sporting their first loss on their record, right? So there's that. Of course, what else do we have here? We have those were the ones that was the Steelers, Titans, right? Oh, the Chiefs. So the Chiefs again had a you know, a little bad outing last week against the Patriots or whatnot. And you know, again, I think if the COVID thing hadn't happened to Cam, especially in that particular situation, I think the outcome of that game would have been a little bit different. I think that the Chiefs would not be undefeated right now. They barely got out of there with that W. So, you know, I give them that. The Buffalo Bills, though, on the other hand, with Tom Brady's, you know, exit from the AFC East, left things wide open for the Buffalo Bills to exert their dominance, and they pretty much taken their spot as the number one team in that division. They look good, and they're playing really well. I like what's going on with the Buffalo Bills right now. So, you know, that stuff is cool. I think I don't know who would, like I said, I don't know who would be the first one to fall off. But, you know, if I had to take a wild guess, right, if I had to say, if the gun in my head, who would be the very first team to drop a game, you know, I would have to say they probably had to be between the Titans and the Chiefs. I don't know what the Chiefs' next upcoming games look like. I don't have a schedule in front of me. But, like, again, based on what we saw last week, it could be a little rough, you know? So it could be a little rough for them. So they got a little rough times coming for them. So that was a good look at the standings right there. And we'll go ahead and do our picks for the week, and we'll get on up out of here. So that's what's coming on up next. All right, we're going to kick off the picks for this week with the teams that are on the bye. Packers, Lions are on the bye, which means that's two teams from the NFC North that are not going to be playing this week, which gives the Vikings and Bears a chance to, improve their standings. And that means that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers' undefeated streak is going to be protected tonight on Thursday Night Football. We got the 3-1 Tampa Bay Buccaneers facing off against the 3-1 Chicago Bears. Also to note in this particular matchup is a rematch from the Super Bowl a couple years ago. I can't remember what the number of the Super Bowl was. 52? I don't know. It's a couple years back. The Patriots versus the Eagles. The Patriots lost that game. It was Tom Brady versus Nick Foles. And that's what we're going to get here tonight. I can't wait to see this one. Because the Nick Foles situation is an enigma to me. Because this dude has been playing a cleaner role for the last couple years. So, you know, and they didn't want to give him the gig permanently in Philly for whatever reason. They decided they want to roll the dice with Wentz or whatever the case may be. Foles becomes a journeyman, going from Philly to Jacksonville, now to Chicago, and so on and so forth. And just to kind of go right up against his arch nemesis, Tom Brady, one more time in a week five NFC matchup. I like the home team, Chicago Bears, with Nick Foles. I like the Chicago defense. Even though the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do have a lot of aerial attack, and they have some superb weapons on offense, it's just, I worry about Tom Brady, and I worry about the interception number. And I know I'm going to catch a lot of flack for saying that, because Tom Brady's supposed to be the GOAT, but listen, I don't know how many interceptions and pick sixes he done through this season, but that number's going up, and I don't know if that Tom Brady move was an upgrade from Jameis Winston or not. It looked like we kind of, I don't know. But in this particular one, I am going to go with the home team, Chicago Bears, in this one. All right, we roll to the Sunday games. The 1 o'clock setup, we got the 3-1 Rams facing off against the 1-3 Washington football team. Listen, Washington done benched their quarterback, Dwayne Haskins. So he's been benched. And I think the quarterback the New York team, the Jets, they didn't bench the quarterback. I think Sam Darnold got hurt, so Joe Flacco's going to be taking that. A lot of quarterback movement this week, but we see Dwayne Haskins going to take a seat. And Washington is the home team. Rams gonna roll up in there and put a spanking on them. I got the Rams in a crazy one-sided, lopsided, blowout of the Washington football team. Also, we got the undefeated 4-0 Buffalo Bills going to Tennessee to face off against the quote-unquote undefeated Tennessee Titans. Now, I don't know all the names of all the players who tested positive for COVID, but I know they're only 7 days into their quarantine, so I don't know who's going to show up in this lineup. I don't know what's going on with this. And even if everybody on that team was healthy, let's just say everybody was fine and this was a regular old game, we weren't dealing with no COVID and that like that, I still think Buffalo, Josh Allen, and, Stephon Diggs, the Buffalo Bills seem a little bit unstoppable right now. And the schedule is just kind of like rolling out the red carpet for them. I think the Buffalo Bills improved their record, undefeated streak for 5-0 this week against the Titans. Also, we have the 1-2-1 Philadelphia Eagles going to Pittsburgh to face off against, again, the quote-unquote undefeated 3-0 Steelers, which, the Eagles and every other team in the NFC East is garbage. And the 1-2-1, a team with a loss on their record, is actually the division leader in that division. That'll show you what kind of situation that division is in and how bad things are in that division, right? They roll into Pittsburgh and get stomped. I got the Steelers in this one. The next game up is the 2-2 Arizona Cardinals going into Meadowlands to face off against the winless New York Jets, and that's a easy win. The Cardinals coming off a loss to Carolina. That ain't sitting too well with one young Kyler Murray. The Jets are reeling right now. They have a quarterback, issues with the injuries, disarray with the coach. He's worried about his job. All kind of weird stuff going on. They're not going to win a game for a while. So if you're a Jets fan, you need to strap in because it's going to be a long season, right? So I got the Cards with the win. I also have the Las Vegas Raiders at 2-2 going into Arrowhead. Face off against the undefeated Red Hot. Well, I'm going to say Red Hot because they did struggle a little bit last week. Kansas City Chiefs at home. Now, this game is a toss-up. I like the Raiders' chances in this game. I like Carr and Waller, and I like what they got going on in Las Vegas right now. Going into hostile territory in Kansas City, and Kansas City is coming off a very, very awful game last week. So, we can see Mahomes bounce back right here, or we can continue to see the blueprint being read against the Chiefs. But you still have Hardman and Hill and Kelce and Mahomes. It's a tough one. I just know this. If the Chiefs show up and play like they played last week, they played against the Patriots. If they try to play the Raiders like that, they will lose this game. But officially, I'm going to pick the Chiefs to remain undefeated here and keep going, well, mainly because they're at home. And I think that home environment will give them a spark, and they will they'll bounce back. So, but they better not show up looking like they looked last week, or they're going to be in trouble, right? All right, we're rolling to the 1-3 Jacksonville Jaguars facing off against the even worse division rival Texans. It's a division game, and this one has got higher stakes. This is Romeo Crennel's first game as acting head coach or interim head coach. Can he galvanize the squad? With all of the dissension between the coach, with the former coach and the players, J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson and all of them, because they finally got what they wanted. Apparently they wanted the coach gone. He's gone. This is their opportunity to prove that this was the best move, and everything that they were saying was true. So I like the Texans coming off the snide and getting their first win here in a divisional matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now we roll into the 1-2-1 Cincinnati Bengals facing off against the super hot Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens at 3-1, divisional matchup as well. This one is going to be pretty good. The rookie here, Like again, I've went on record of saying things about Joe Burrow. He looks out of the rookie quarterbacks or the young quarterbacks that are playing this season. He to me looks like he looks the most like a rookie to me. And I mean, obviously, I think he's playing a very good game. And to the fellow's point last night, they was talking about how Baker Mayfield and wasn't able to find his receivers. But the same thing can be said about Joe Burrow. It's talking about how Odell Beckham Jr. got his first, looks last week. But I've been watching AJ Green, and he's been struggling out there trying to get catches too. So you can say what you want to say. It's growing pains. It's he paying his dues as a rookie quarterback, and he going up against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and he gonna get a quick chin check here. I think the Ravens move on here. The Bengals take another loss. All right, my game. My 2-2 Carolina Panthers are going into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium down in Atlanta to give the Atlanta Falcons a chance to win their first game. But with this one, like I said, it's a lot of weirdness going on in Atlanta right now. I think, Dan Quinn worried about his job. Like I said, this could be a chance to the job-saving game for him if he can pull this one off. But they still got issues with their main guy, Julio Jones. With the hamstring, they still got Calvin Ridley. They still got Todd Gurley. They still got some playmakers. I don't trust Matt Ryan to get this one done. Carolina's defense have been looking very sharp for the first time in a couple years. The Carolina Panthers secondary, as a group that I can actually kind of feel good about. I used to be nervous every time the ball went in the air against this Carolina Panthers secondary, but I have a little bit more trust in the group that we got now. Minus the Eli Apple, he's one that I still got some issues with. So for Eli Apple, it's the only one in that group that I'm kind of worried about. But other than that, I think I feel pretty good about that group. And then of course Teddy Bridgewater showed last week that he got his first rushing touchdown since he had the injury about 4 years ago. He showed that he still got some wheels, and if he can continue to play like that and show a little grit and a little heart, Carolina might be on a roll here. So I'm picking the Panthers to win this one, and the Falcons remain winless, and they go 0-5. We also have the 1-3 Miami Dolphins going into Levi Stadium to face off against 2-2 San Francisco 49ers. I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is back yet. I think he's still out. So 49ers are actually not at full strength right now. The Dolphins still ain't really putting up a threat in any kind of way that I think they would pose a threat to the 49ers and continue to run the ball like they have been doing. They don't have to worry about so much at the quarterback position. You just need them. Whoever they have lined up should just manage the game, and they can get out of here, with a relatively low score. They can probably win this game with around 21 points or less, I think. I like the 49ers in this one. I think this is going to be the gotcha game of the week, and I'm saying people might roast me for this one, but you got the 0-4 winless New York Giants going into the Dallas Cowboys AT&T Stadium to face off against the 1-3 Dallas Cowboys. Now, I know the Giants don't really present a threat to a lot of people. A lot of people look at the Giants and they're like, who they got? Saquon Barkley is out. All they got is Shepard and Tate. And Daniel Jones is shaky at best. Interceptions come out when you least expect it, or definitely at the wrong time. But the Dallas Cowboys are so dysfunctional on defense right now. I feel like with a little bit of luck, and depending on if the Giants can maintain themselves and they take advantage of the dysfunctional Dallas Cowboys defense, I believe, and I'm going to go ahead and say it here on record, that the Giants go into AT&T, grab their first win, and knot it up with the Dallas Cowboys and be 1-4 apiece. And I said it. There you go. The Giants get their win over the Dallas Cowboys. And I know a lot of people ain't going to like that, but that's my pick. Then we have the 3-1 Indianapolis Colts going into Cleveland to face off the 3-1 Browns. Listen, I don't have a lot of stock in Phillip Rivers. The Colts haven't really showed me a whole lot. They've been playing. I mean, like I said, they only win game out of
Actually, I think they lead their division right now. I think, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so it might be. Well, because that one game with the Titans, so it kind of throws things off a little bit. But technically, they would be tied with the Titans, and, you know, if everything had went the way it's supposed to have went. But facing off against Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry, who had a big game last week, I think all three played. Nick Chubb, he played very well as well. The Cleveland defense, I mean, they did let Dallas run up 28 unanswered points on them, or whatever the case may be. That's a little scary. Can't let that happen against somebody like Phillip Rivers. But then again, Phillip Rivers is known for the errant interception at the end. Browns are at home. I like the way what I saw out of the Browns. They put up 49 points last week, which means we know they can score. Their defense just needs to tighten up a little bit. But if Baker Mayfield and the Browns can put up that many points on a consistent basis, then the defense, like I said, they can work on. They have opportunity because they're putting up so many points. And I don't think that the Colts can keep up. So I'm going with the Cleveland Browns here. Then we have the 1-3 Broncos going up to Gillette to face off against the 2-2 Patriots, which I think Cam is still out. So I think we got Jarrett Stidham is going to be our quarterback for this one. This is a chance for the Broncos to get another, you know, and tie up with the Patriots if they wanted to. Don't think it's going to happen. The Patriots, you know, really their running game is still too strong. Their defense is still really, really good. And the Broncos, they have an issue with they can't generate offense. So if they can't score more than 12 points a game, it's going to be hard for them to win anything, right? But not against the Patriots, right? So you got the Patriots winning this one. And then the last game of the day on Sunday, it's going to be a showdown between the 1-3 Vikings going into CenturyLink to face off against the undefeated Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson, which the Vikings have been a complete disappointment this season. And this game is not really going to prove too much more of anything different. I think, you know, the Seahawks will do typical Seahawks stuff. We'll probably see about 3 or 4 touchdowns from Russell Wilson. An easy win there. I got the Seahawks going in that way. And then to close things out on Monday night, we have, we got the LA Chargers 1-3 going into the Superdome, face off against the 2-2 Saints, Drew Brees. And, you know, any other day, I mean, like we have the young rookie, which I think is actually showed the most promise out of the rookie quarterbacks this season, Herbert. But going up against Drew Brees in a shootout, that one's going to be tough. You know what I mean? And Brees got a little bit more weapons than Herbert has. So I think it's going to be a good game. I think the Chargers will probably give the Saints a good game. But I think at the end of all things, the Saints will pull this one out. And then we're going to be 3-2. And I think they're still, right now they're tied with the Carolina Panthers. So one game behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's the picks for the week. That's what we got going on. Those were the stories that I wanted to cover with you guys. It's the first episode of Sunday's Best. And I will be live on the Twitter machine for the most part. Like I definitely will be there during the 1 o'clock games. I usually fade away somewhere near the fourth quarter, the 1 o'clock games, and then you probably see me pop back in around halftime at 4 o'clock games and that kind of thing. So I will be live on Twitter. If you guys want to interact with me, hit me up on Twitter at TeamBoyTV. That's where I'll be. I'll be on Twitter, you know, commenting on most of the games. Most of the time, I don't just sit and watch the Panthers games. I watch all the games, so I comment on every game that's being played. And instead of just like commenting on the Panthers games and so on and so forth and that kind of thing, I would invite you guys, no matter what platform you listen to this podcast on, to subscribe and like, or, you know, whatever with the podcast. Let me know. Give me a little bit of feedback. Leave some comments. You know, let me know if I can improve this or you like that part. It'd be nice if you could do this. I mean, I'm open to pretty much any kind of criticism. I want to see the podcast take off and that kind of thing. Like I said, you know, I'm hosting the show by myself today, but more than likely, Vernie will be joining me on the show from time to time, and you guys will be able to hear her opinion on a lot of stuff and that kind of thing. Also, we will still continue to go live on Wednesday nights with Glass and JB, the Raven Shogun. you know, on Team Boy TV Live. We definitely appreciate everybody who come out and check out the show, and we appreciate you guys' involvement in that show. The conversation that we have with the audience there is top notch. We love it, and we like that. Also, you know, while you listen to the podcast, check out my boy Glass of Sage of Sports. He has his podcast on Apple and Spotify and all that stuff too as well. It is called Sage of Sports Podcast, and you can check that one out as well. Also, you can look at there. There's a section where you can leave a 1-minute message if you wanted to have me react to a topic, or if you wanted to correct me on a certain thing, or if you just want to just leave a message, you know, that I'll play it back, and it'll be on the show the following week if you want to leave a message for me like that. Until next week, though, this is going to be the show for today. This is episode 1, Sunday's Best, week 5 of the 2020 NFL season. And until next week, man, y'all guys enjoy the games this weekend, and I'll be back here on Thursday to talk about it again. Y'all have a good one. Take it easy. Peace.